Howard Stern.
The following. That's insane.
Is a new breed.
She's just a child.
Of media.
If that's what you think.
The following has no boundaries.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
No rules.
What's a Boston steamer?
No limits. Limits. The Howard Stern Show.
So you're probably going to try and relive your high school football glory days in some random park this weekend. Try not to break any bones this year, okay? Tough guy.
91X's Thanksgiving Block Party Weekend.
'Twas the night before Christmas and we were passed out. The end. Happy holidays from 91X.
Il y a personne qui rock comme les milieux. Rock of Calgary. CJ 92.
Another WFNX concert. Boston. Buy tickets now at WFNX.com.
The producers.
So, I think it'll be really cool now. One of the goals of this interview was to talk about, you know, people who are, let's say, locked into imaging a couple stations. And you know they got a good job, or that, you know, they love what they do, but they're interested in sort of branching out, you know, learning new skills and finding a way to do a lot of different things. And you've obviously done that. So I guess first we can talk briefly about your voiceover career. You still have a pretty flourishing voiceover career, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's the best way to make a living. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. You know, like, it doesn't take much time and you can do it from home and you can do it from anywhere. I just a laptop and a microphone and, you know, so it's, yeah, absolutely.
And you said, you know, in 2000-ish, you decided, you know, mathematically or fiscally, it was better for you to jump into that freelance side, you know, most of the time. Did at that point, you know, how much training had you devoted to that skill, or have you gotten a lot of training in the world of voice since then?
I mean, I've never had any formal training. It was just kind of as you do it, you know, like mm-hmm. it's one of those things where it's like you're standing in a booth in New York somewhere and there's like 10 people and the producer says, all right, do it this way. And then the engineer says, yeah, this way. And then the writer says this way. And then another guy says, okay, but take a 10th of a second off and go. And you just have to do it. And you just can't goof. Like, that's what people always say to me. Like, how do you get into voiceovers? You know, like, I've got a great voice. Well, it's not really a great voice.
Right.
It's really, you know, you got to really read it and do all the other technical stuff like that. You know, like, okay, accent the word the, and don't take a breath there, and da 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 da, and go. And you just have to do it. You can't goof up.
Yeah.
People are, you know, waiting around for you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the key.
These days, what percentage of your voice work is, I don't know, TV promo work versus radio imaging work versus commercial work, et cetera?
I don't do a lot of commercial work. It's mainly like half like TV promos and half radio. You know, the coming up tonight on Channel 4 News and that sort of stuff.
Are you doing a lot of local TV network, local TV promo work?
Yeah, like the Nashville, you know, CBS station or whatever. Yeah. Yep.
And what about national promo work?
It's, you know, it comes and goes. It's, you know, voiceover work is, you know, comes and goes and ebbs and flows. I mean, I was doing MSNBC for a long time and I do HBO now. I was the voice of the NBC, the Carson Daly New Year's Eve NBC show, which was national.
And you have that on your website. I think I heard that there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's comes and goes. It's weird. It's, you know.
Any advice for, like, you know, there's going to be a lot of different types of people listening to this. Those that are just starting, those have been doing it forever, but you know, you've got a wide range of gigs, but as far as that world, the TV promo world, as you said, it's ebbs and flows. Any advice for kind of keeping your head up, especially in kind of the downturns of that?
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. You just have to have a thick skin and don't take anything personally when they say, you know what, we're going with a different voice. It's just the way it is, and it's unless you're a real kind of a-hole, it's never really personal.
Yeah.
And you know, like, if I'm on a station for more than a year, I just think that's like, woo, that's great. I just, you know, think in radio and in TV, it's, you know, people want lots of changes. So just don't let it get you down. There's a million people doing voiceovers, but there is zillions of opportunities to work, especially mm-hmm. with the internet. So there's everything's out there.
I don't know what type. I mean, you obviously, actually, I don't know who you're represented by. Are you with Atlas or who are you with?
Yes, Atlas in New York. Yep.
What kind of marketing do you do for yourself, or have you done for yourself, or have you pretty much just forayed from the the K-Rock days, built up your stations that way, and then just kind of worked, and you haven't really had to spend a lot of time doing that?
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, when I first left, I had ads in R&R and any, you know, all access and anything I, you know, just kind of spent money on. But now it's particularly with an agent. I mean, I just have auditions just emailed to me all day long, and I just record them and send them back, and just kind of word of mouth, really.
Mm-hmm. That's probably, I mean, you'd probably have to say that's a nice place to be, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, you know, not having to spend money on advertising, which helps. I really do think it helps, mm-hmm. Especially in this day and age, but also, I'm a big fan of social media. So, like, that's just the biggest audience, Twitter and Facebook and everything. It really has just, you know, done wonders.
Do you have any really cool, like, a little tip or a trick that you've utilized that really helped you in regards to maybe some way you utilize Twitter to get yourself some big gigs or cool gigs? Or
You just start following people who you want to hire you. and whether they follow you back, it sort of doesn't matter, but your name pops up, and it's at least it's in their brain. So, you know, mm-hmm. like Brian Kelsey, like if they've never heard of you, you're now, at least you had to look at my name one time to see that I'm following you. And then from there, you know, just very ever so gingerly, comment on one of their tweets. Hey, you're right. That was a great so-and-so, or congratulations or whatever. Not selling yourself, not saying, hey, check out my demo, whatever.
Yeah.
Just a little, you know, hey, that sounds great. I'll check it out. And then, you know, I think they respect that rather than trying to just out and out, just sell yourself.
I'm going to put links to all of your social places on this podcast. I know you have quite a few, but yeah, you seem to be one of these guys that's pretty ingrained in the whole social networking world. You've got the Facebook and the Twitter, the LinkedIn, yeah. And, so I'll put links to, unless you tell me no, you don't want
to. No, link whatever, link. Come on over, I'll send out my phone number, just come on over.
Yeah, we'll have a big party at Kelsey Creative. Yeah. You have a good YouTube channel, lots of cool stuff, most of it having to do with your home improvement stuff. Now, this obviously has to be some sort of a major passion for you. Is that kind of how it started?
Yeah, real quick, I've always been a carpenter my entire life, and I've just been obsessed with it, but honestly, voiceovers is a lot better living than being a carpenter.
Yeah.
And I love television so much too. So the past couple of years, like, I've done a lot of promos for HGTV and some of these, you know, home improvement networks. And I talked to the producers and I'm like, I just want to do a show, whatever. And like, some of them were like, well, just do one. So I just started making them. And, I just had friends who had production companies and would just help me out. And, I know how to edit and do motion graphics, so I would do all that. I just needed to have someone shoot it and started making stuff, and HGTV really took an interest, and some other people, and things just started kind of taking off. And so now I'm really, like, you know, kind of focusing on that to really kind of build that up into a program, an actual program that I'll sell.
So we've got Kelsey on the House.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kelsey on the House, kelseyonthehouse.com. You can hit that to get more on this show. But tell me about this show. How did it start? What do you got going on there?
That's just, while stuff is going on with these other networks, I wanted to just make a show exactly how I wanted it and how I think a home improvement show should be. I mean, speaking of anti-jingle, this is called the Anti-Home Show. Mm-hmm. And again, I took the anti from back in the days, from the anti-jingle.
Yeah.
And it's just everything that is, you know, all the syrupy, sappy, just, home shows that are on now. This I wanted to make different. And so I'm just making these episodes, and basically just webisodes, and putting them all together, and then, you know, hopefully selling them to a network, or, you know, work on some kind of show.
And yeah, I'm going to put a link to, I was going to say, it's cool. You sent me the first half of the latest episode, the fashion one.
Yeah.
I can post that.
I'm literally editing that now. It's up on the screen.
I think it's cool. I hadn't spent a lot of time with this show yet, so I watched that in its entirety, or the first half in its entirety. It's a lot of fun, but you definitely, It seems to me you don't just have a passion for the, you know, the kind of home improvement aspect, but you really enjoy being on camera. You like kind of being your sort of normal dude that also has a television show.
I guess it's fun. I mean, it's not, you know, it's just I'm not an actor. I'm not a, certainly not a model, which is a lot of these carpenters are,
right.
Mostly models who are, you know, it just drives me bananas.
It seems like the only one that you see that doesn't have model carpenters is like This Old House.
Right.
Otherwise,
which is my favorite show. I mean, I've watched that since that was my, oh, you know, yeah. Since 1979.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, so that's where I kind of base everything on.
So talk about that, though. You at what point did you start to put a lot of effort into learning, you know, how to put together these episodes, the video work?
I just started teaching myself. I mean, I learned first I learned After Effects, which is a motion graphics program. I learned that about 4 years ago. I mean, tutorials online, I mean, it's just they're the best. So
yeah.
I just learned that. And then the past year, I taught myself Final Cut, and which is not hard at all. I mean, it's just like audio, which is video. And but, you know, it's also the producing, which is tricky. There's, again, it's all pacing and timing and beats. And, you know, when you're cutting this stuff together, it's all timing,
yeah.
And pacing.
You're using some pretty cool effects on that. So this is just stuff you've kind of taught yourself over time.
Yeah. obviously, it shows.
I think it looks really well done. I mean,
well, thanks.
You're using some similar stuff that I see in the show Californication. I don't know if you've ever thought about that.
I haven't, but you know, I really like, believe it or not, Carson Daly, the way they produce their late night show, I love, and I pick up a lot of cues from them.
Yeah, that's right. I don't get to watch that show often or maybe ever, but I have seen it a couple times, and yeah. Where they go to, like, in those rough cuts between scenes where you're kind of like it's suddenly 1970 for a minute and then.
Yep.
Yeah. I like that stuff, though. So, but this is all stuff you just kind of learned on your own, tutorials online.
Yep. Not so hard.
What about Life with Brian? Tell me about that.
That was the very first thing. And that was when I was doing a promo for HGTV. And I told the producer about this idea I had where it's like, just, you got to do stuff with your own two hands, you know? He's like, well, do it. Make something, show it to me, and maybe we can put together a show. So I did Life with Brian, which was just basically me around the house and my wife just going nuts, you know, with me always building stuff. And it actually got sold, HGTV. It went right to the top, got greenlit. And at that exact time, the president of HGTV resigned. A new guy came in, hated the show, hated everything, and just, you know,
really
washed it. Yeah,
well, that is a shame.
So, yeah, but that's what happens in TV. But, you know, at least I had built up a relationship with them, which was good.
Yeah. And so as far as I mean, obviously, I think you mentioned you're still making most of your income from the world of voice. And are you making any income off these the home improvement type things yet, or
not really? No, I mean, we're probably going to be getting a sponsor for the show because it might start running kind of, I can't really say too much, but it's probably going to start running in a high profile place online, which means it'll be seen by a lot of people, which means sponsorships. And in that way, there'll be money. But there's nothing now.
You'll have to keep me posted. I'll definitely post information on my site whenever things, you know, actually are real. For you.
Yes.
You know,
thank you.
When you can talk about them officially. Another thing you have going on is some DIY blogging for AOL.
Yeah. You know, I write weekly how to articles with tons of pictures. I just take really high quality pictures of a process of how I do something and write about it and, you know, submit it to them. It's, you know, if I'm going to tile a room or something, I'll tile it, but I'll take, you know, really good photographs of how I'm doing it and the process and they post it.
You want to know another one that sorry, this is a little bit off topic now, sure. But Holmes on Homes.
Yes.
I like Holmes. That show.
Yes. I do like him. I like, you know, he's from the Great White North, Mr. Canadian.
Right.
He knows his stuff.
And I was actually going to use that to say, why is it that it seems like on a lot of the home improvement type channels, a lot of the programming is coming from Canada?
Yeah, most of it is. It's a lot cheaper to produce up there. It's a lot. I mean, that's why a lot of movies, Hollywood goes up there, because something to do with taxes too. It's just a lot cheaper. And there's HGTV Canada and HGTV USA, and they kind of overlap and, you know, share programming. Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't sure though. It seems like, you know, I know they film a lot of movies in Canada for that reason, but these seem to also be really from actual Canadian production companies.
Yeah. So. No, they're full on. In fact, I was about to do a big voiceover for a new show, HGTV show. But in the end, I couldn't because it was shot in Canada and something to do with I needed to be a resident of Canada or, you know, something like that. So I couldn't do it.
Well, they do have those weird music laws there. You have to play like 60% Canadian artists on their stations and stuff, right?
Right.
Well,
yeah.
They got to have 60% Canadian home improvers.
Exactly.
Well, it's good to hear about that aspect of your life, kind of bringing it back to the radio and voice and production world. Do you produce audio production at all anymore?
Not really. And I wish I did. I try to like have one. I've always had kind of one station or one thing that I was producing.
Yeah.
And I'm not now. And, you know, these days it's so different in radio that the sales guy is also the afternoon guy who's also doing all the production, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's really, hard to find a station that just wants to hire a voice and production. You know, it's tricky.
Yeah, it is. And I'm guessing maybe, as far as time goes, it's just maybe not worth it for you.
It totally is because it's, okay. I love doing it and it's like, you know, it's my roots. So I love doing it.
So it still is a bit of a passion for you then. And
yes, definitely.
I guess what I'm saying is even though, you know, I like to get freelance jobs as well, but if someone's going to have a choice between me and you, they're going to choose you. So Brian Kelsey is available. If you've got the right dollars,
yes,
he's ready to produce.
I'll work for cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, but it is different though. You know, like the prices aren't what they used to be,
yeah.
You know, 5-6 years ago, it's different. So
I bet you, you know, you were there kind of at one of the biggest stations in the biggest time of radio. So you have really seen kind of what, I mean, I'm going to call it a decline. Some would be a little more positive and say a change.
But, right. No, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
But you've definitely seen that happen firsthand.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. I mean, salaries and firings. And I mean, every other day I see people email me saying, my email now is changed to so-and-so, you know, at Gmail or Yahoo.
Oh.
When it used to be like, you know, radio station. I'm like, oh, no, not again. It's a different time.
My final question would be,
yes,
what is the one key piece of advice you would give to the either currently working, temporarily unemployed or the up-and-coming radio producer and or voiceover artist?
Just keep going. Even if you just got hired for a job today, keep your eyes always open and your ear to the ground because you know how it is. Mm-hmm. You could be there today and gone tomorrow. And just network your ass off. You know, I mean, LinkedIn, everything. The more people know about you, the more they'll think of you when there's a job. And FaceTime. Anytime you can get in front of someone's face, it does worlds of good.
Awesome.
Because in this digital age, you know, it's not that often that you can see a program director or see a general manager, but if you can be around that person, that's huge.
That's great. You know, speaking of networking, as you said, I'm going to put links, as I mentioned, to all of your sites on this podcast page on the website. Also going to have some videos from you. I'll embed the videos on the site so people can check out what you're doing on that side of the world now as well.
Well, if you can edit out my nose, that would be great.
Okay.
Just block that out because it kind of sucks up all the high def footage.
All right. I literally know nothing about video, so it'll be difficult. But
me neither.
Brian Kelsey, thank you so much, man. I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you. I really, really, really appreciate that you reached out to me, and this is fantastic, and you do a good service to so many people.
As I always do, thank the guest one more time, Brian Kelsey. Too kind at the end there, but what a really, really nice guy, really grounded guy. It's also fun to see, you know, someone who does, I'd say, what the bulk of the people listening to this podcast do, and then able to kind of hone your skills in other areas. You know, hopefully he's really successful with his television shows. I know right now I don't think it's a huge moneymaker for him, but he's doing some really quality work, and I could definitely see some of his stuff, you know, being out there in the absolute mainstream and being things that a wide range of people would like to watch on a regular basis. So anyway, great work to him. Maybe someday we'll talk to him in the future and at least get caught up with a couple links on the website. Just wanted to make a couple quick notes here. Again, if you, for some reason, didn't check out the first part, a quick rundown of upcoming guests, which you can feel free to send me questions for anytime if someone piques your interest. Paul Armstrong will be a guest soon. We're still working out a time, what with the seven-ish hour difference between us. But he won a contest with Benstown, which awarded him an interview on this podcast. Though, to be honest, he's definitely a guy I would have liked to talk to anyway, so that sort of works out. He's in London, and one of the guys behind Capital FM, 95.8 Capital FM. Anyway, Paul Armstrong, we're going to have a good talk with John Kerber, who's got some big things happening. Luckily, Howard, speaking of, and I mentioned John in the interview, but signed a new five-year deal, which meant John gets to keep his job there amongst all the other players in that show. So that's good. He's also launching two brand new packages with a pretty major company, I guess you would just say internationally at this point. But we'll get all the scoop and the details on that with John Kerber. Robert Dudzik, I mentioned, he's going to be a guest coming up soon. He's another package. His name is behind Trinity HD Effects, but he's also been a very talented imaging producer and a very musical guy for a long time. You can go find him on the internet pretty easily. The other thing I'm going to mention is you can absolutely feel free to post any comments or questions on the website. I will reply if needed. Otherwise, just feel free to have a conversation there. But I haven't mentioned it in a few episodes, and then it's been like a month and a half between episodes. There's a submitted content on my site, which, by the way, might get a bit of a refresh soon to make things a little easier to find on the front page. But anyway, if you have some submitted content you would like to then submit, it's a little redundant. You can send me, you know, screenshots of your favorite plugs. You can send me template sessions. You can send me tracks that you've made using things like Nexus or Transfuser or Omnisphere, Stylus, whatever. Any of your favorite stuff you've made. And I will simply put it in the submitted content feed and everybody out there can hear it and enjoy. Had a couple of people submit demos for critique. So admittedly, the submitted content has had a bunch of stuff submitted, but not a whole bunch of stuff commented on. So feel free to check that out if you'd like to see what other people are doing. And there's probably going to be at least one or two good resources there that you'll enjoy, tips and tricks and whatnot. I'm also trying to do some halfway decent tutorial type videos whenever I come across something. Latest one is in my blog. I did a tutorial demo on Stutter Edit. I was really excited for that product to hit Earth, and it did. So far, it's lived up to my expectations. I think, honestly, my favorite thing is it does what I thought it would do. You know, if you had the Sonify app from BT on the iPhone, then you kind of get an idea of what this plugin was then supposed to do. But I was worried about how tough it would be to actually get those effects working, and you know, what types of tracks you could use it with. And then my main concern was just going to be how much resource it sucked up on your machine. And it has not disappointed me at all. But I made a stupid little tutorial you can check out. Blog, it should be one of the blog postings on my blog. And I think it's in my recent projects as well, down there in the bottom of the website. Okay, everybody, have yourself a great rest of your day or night whenever you're listening to this, and I'll check you out next time. Bye.
The Producers with Ryan Dream.
Have a question, comment, or concern? Go f*** yourself. Just kidding, kind of.
Email Ryan at ryanontheradio.com.
ryanontheradio.com. Ryan on the radio. Gotta make a jingle.
Yeah, Ryan on the radio.
Radio, Ryan on the radio.com.
The Producers.
The Producers.
Until next time.
Thanks for listening.